Welcome to Alpha Unleashed with your host, Nadine Hatzidolios-McGill. In this series, Nadine will teach you how to tap into your alpha zone, harness its power, increase your self-esteem, and live a powerful, confident life. And now, here is your host, Nadine Hatzidolios-McGill.
Welcome to the 13th episode of Alpha Unleashed. This episode is titled Aligning Your Alpha. This podcast will teach you how to tap into your alpha zone, harness its power, increase your self-esteem so that you can live a powerful, confident life. I am your host, Nadine Hatzidolios-McGill, self-esteem expert and seminar leader. Today, I have the privilege of interviewing Shane Zach Hewitt. But before I read his bio and get Shane on the line, I would like to explain to you what Alpha Unleashed is and where it was actually born from. I have been public speaking for over 4 decades, and I love being on stage and in front of a mic. However, in spite of all that experience, I have this huge fear that comes up right before I'm about to go on stage. And it is so bad that my eyes go blurry, my brain goes foggy, and even though I've prepared, believe me, I take a lot of time to prepare, and I have notes and cue cards and PowerPoints, and I've gone over what I want to say, I still get on stage and I'm so fearful of making a mistake and not having the words come out as I've planned that I forget everything. I actually blank out. And this has been going on for 40 years. One day at an event that Shane actually witnessed, I got up on stage impromptu in front of 50 people. And my mind still went into that foggy area, but I realized afterwards that I was in a different zone. I got up on the stage and I spoke without notes. I spoke from my heart. Everything just flowed out of me like I wanted to. I felt this exuberance. And after I got off stage, my coach said to me, "Wow, who were you up there? I don't even know that person. It was like you were unleashed." And I realized that I had gone into alpha zones in my mind. So in regular consciousness, everyday consciousness, we are in beta waves. And when I got up on that stage, I went into the alpha waves, which are still consciousness, but you are in a very relaxed, creative space. And I found when I allowed myself to be there that I was just a natural speaker and I was without fear. And I actually am almost moved to tears right now thinking about it because I have wanted that experience for 40 years and it finally came to me. And I feel so much better when I get up on stage now, and I encourage other people who want to be public speakers to find their alpha zone. So, as I said, we are interviewing Shane Hewitt today. With more than 2 decades of radio broadcast experience, Shane Zach Hewitt brings a wealth of communications and creative experience into the lives of his clients. Unlock My Words, which is Shane's business, allows space for authentic living, feeling understood, and an intimacy in your life through the examination of language and words. Shane, welcome to our podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you were able to join us today. You are a definite inspiration to me, and I would like you to tell our listeners how you and I met.
Well, we met in a seminar in a group. I think we just got randomly assigned by number, if I'm not mistaken. And then we ended up in a group. So our study went intensive for an entire weekend. And ever since then, I think you're stuck with me. You know, I remember that moment. I remember the moment that you got up and you had the aha where it just kicked in and your self-expression just, I mean, I had known you for almost a year at that point, and it literally just was this explosion of expression. It was really cool.
Thank you. Yes, so you and I were in 3 events. So it started out with Landmark Forum, which is the one I want to focus on today because that is where your true inspiration came out. And then we shared in a group in the advanced session, and then this last one, which is the Landmark Self-Expression Leadership Program. So you inspired me with your willingness to expose your true self in front of 150 strangers, I think it was, in the room. And being a radio personality, you're already known to the public, but you got up and you spoke anyway and didn't have any blocks. I want to know how did you have to show up to even begin to allow yourself to open up to the degree that you did at that forum?
Well, I think what's really important to say to that is that I was terrified. And I'll explain the Zach Shane thing. So Zach is a name that I was given on the radio in the late 90s. It was just assigned to me. I literally walked in to a memo that said Shane Hewitt will now be known as Zach or Z-Man from here on out. And I was new at the radio station. And so that's how it all started. So I literally just walked into a memo. So that's why there's two names there. That day, when I came to the forum and where I was at personally, is I had all this writing. I had all these ideas. I owned a couple of businesses and I was really looking for clarity. And then the first day of that seminar or of that program, I really just kind of sat, I pushed back, I listened. I knew I had to do something. And the power of, you know, whether for wherever it lands for you, whether it's God or the universe or vibration or whatever, I knew that on the Saturday morning I had to do something. And I was terrified to get up in front of everybody. I was terrified to speak in front of everybody. I was terrified to be made from the radio. I didn't want my personal life, my professional life to cross over. And that for me was, that was a big, big block that I had. And then I actually ended up with laryngitis that week. So I didn't sound like myself. And somehow that made me feel a little bit more comfortable. So I got up on stage and I shared all of my personal things, all of my baggage, my battles, the things I was telling myself. And then it broke down. And in my writing piece that I think you're going to share later on, I had written about how the chains of the anchor, literally like a cartoon, it shattered in my mind. And that's really how it all started for me. Now, speaking in front of people was something that I had done many times. I've been in front of 15,000 people on stage. You get nervous. Aside from that, you just go do your thing. But I always had a job to do. I didn't have to just share. And for me, that was where it all changed, was when I went from having an expected outcome to not having an expected outcome.
That makes total sense to me, about letting go of what you expect your outcomes to be. So what is your alpha? Where is it that you thrive from when I talk about alpha? Can you relate to that and how would you describe it?
Yeah, I relate to it. I'm not sure if I know specifically which one it is, though. I have two places that I go, and I think one is cause and one is means. And my word is really passion. It really is. So there's an authenticity to passion. You can't be passionate and not be authentic, but love is where I stand. And that is the fundamental piece of what you're calling alpha for me, is that if it's not going to represent what is love in this moment, I think that's, to me, the fundamental piece of all of the things. And inside the unlock my words part, that language and the ecosystem that is that gets created there. So there's an authenticity to it. There's an openness. There's dialogue, which is important to have both parts of that conversation. But really is just presence in being love and just standing there and having that love be what is right now.
So we are going to play the Unlock the Words for our listeners. And really, when you're listening to this, please just take the time to stop whatever you're doing and listening to it. It is so powerful. And I'm grateful for Shane for sharing this and for continuing to share it. It was such a transformation, and I was overjoyed when Shane sent this recording to me, because we had just finished our sessions together in the Landmark program, and like I ran back into the building to catch you when you sent that to me, because I was in the parking lot listening to it, and I couldn't find you. It was so moving to me. I had to come in and thank you for that. And I wasn't able to. So I'm doing it now to thank you for that. And I hope that our listeners get what I got out of it and more, and that they can relate it to their life. It's very transforming. And what I found as I was listening to that, and as we went through Landmark together, I found that people are always measuring themselves against others. We always worry about outside judgment. And when I talk about self-esteem, the beauty of self-esteem is in the strength not to measure ourselves against others or care about that outside judgment. So was there a moment for you that you realized that you no longer had to compare yourself to others or concern yourself with that judgment?
Yeah, in a world where I've worked for so long that you get paid on how popular you are. There's research done about how is it that people perceive you and do they like you? So compare is such a dangerous and scary word. And I think that I let it go when I understood the word contrast. And so when I, in my writing, you have to understand all my writing has been there for years and years and years. And it wasn't until the things that you and I went through that I started to take that out of my head and share it out loud. So as soon as contrast came in my writing, then comparison went away. Because you can't, there's night and day difference between when you compare yourself, because in comparing someone, there's always a winner and a loser. And in contrast, there is success. And it's important to separate those two concepts.
And so how, when you're on the radio now, how have things changed for you?
I think expression, range, that's a tough one. I think that's just more authentic. I've always been, I've been invited before to speak in front of young radio students and broadcasters about how to be authentic and conversational on the radio. But I think that in the past, it was just a mechanism. And right now, I just worry about being in that moment. So I think today on the radio is a lot different in just being present to what is going on. I had a conversation where somebody had spoken about how to be a scientist. And I even surprised myself with the question that was asked, because what is a scientist? And anybody can be a scientist. And so many people online pretend that they're scientists and all these things. And the first question that came to my mind in that moment, well, if you want to be a scientist, or anybody can claim to be a scientist, now I want to know, what is science? And so that's not a question that I would have asked before, to be able to say, okay, well, the fundamental piece of being a scientist is science. So let's, before we get to what is a scientist, we need to understand what is science. And that's probably the biggest difference inside the types of content and conversation I'm able to bring to the radio that I had never brought, digging down into, well, what is the cause or the false cause of this conversation?
Okay, that's interesting, because I speak with a lot of women. I'm in a lot of women's group, and it seems to be an explosion out there right now of women telling their stories. Or I meet people who want to tell their stories and they just don't know how. And my publisher, part of her business is teaching women how to tell their story and saying that it is important. And there's somebody out there who needs to hear your story. And what I have found is that often women don't want to get up and talk because they don't have degrees behind their names or years of experience. And when you talk about science, that brings that to my mind, because people who don't have letters behind their names don't think they have anything to offer. Can you speak a little bit to that?
Well, under the example of science, I mean, it is systematic study is really the part that gets lost. So when somebody says, well, it's just science, well, it's quite possible it's not. Understanding the difference between convenient and study matters. And systematic study means that there's actually a structure to it. So when you talk about letters and people's names and so on, the question that I asked myself about that, I don't want to share my story perspective, I just flipped it the other way and said, well, what if I'm not alone? What if I'm not alone and someone else out there is sitting having the same experience and they feel like they're alone? So which do I want to choose now? Do I want to choose to sit here and think that I'm the only one who's going through this, which I promise you're not? Or do I want to put it out there and allow others to know, by the way, you're not alone? And so the letters behind your name, I mean, this gets into cause and effect inside the writing of words and the means and the outcome. So quite often, the letters behind the name are just the means. They are careers, study that bring people along. And I'm not dismissing experience. I'm not dismissing expertise. But what it does create is just the means to get to the outcome. And when you're looking at the outcome is, I want to share my story. it doesn't matter everything that gets you to share the story. The one part I always caution inside sharing the story is it can't be convenient. If you want people to believe it, it needs to be specific. It can't just be this vague generalization of what it is that you're telling. You have to go all the way in not being convenient and sharing your heart and sharing the specific details that are involved in that. And that's how language functions. And that's how when people want to share their story, they're able to specifically connect with people. Sitting in front of me right now as we have this conversation, I've got a notepad in front of me. I have a piece of paper. My cell phone's on the right. So our brain is functioning in this place where we look at specifics all the time. But when we go into conversation, especially sharing when you feel vulnerable and you're like, oh my God, I'm not good enough, then we stop sharing these specifics. But yet your brain is still functioning in a place where it knows all these specifics. It knows what's going on. So the person who's listening on the other end, they also are functioning on specifics. So when we get vague, their brain's going, well, they're not telling me anything. And we start to doubt them. So the most important thing you can do is just lean on all of the specifics of the things that you have gone through and share those specifics and be as detailed as you can be. It has to be appropriate, of course, for whatever situation you're in or whatever you're sharing, but you get to decide that too.
Ha, bravo. Thank you. Yes, you get to decide that too. And your life makes you an expert on what you have to say. So there's really no reason for fear. But I want to go back to something you said earlier, and it's in regards to fear. You said you got laryngitis before the forum and where you had decided to speak. And I just want you to talk about that for a minute, but I want to say before that I too got laryngitis last Saturday. And I know without a doubt, it was because I was worried about this podcast and the recordings and filling 30 minutes per podcast and what would I say and how many questions do I need to ask? And, you know, the whole gamut of filling that time. And I lost my voice. And so that fear became psychosomatic. And I just got my voice back, and you can tell it's still scratchy, 2 days ago. Because you and I had this recording to do, and it's something that I really, really want to put out there. It's my story that I'm sharing. And so go back to when you got the laryngitis and then you had to, or you chose to get up and speak at that forum. What were you feeling? What was going through your mind about having gotten that laryngitis and then speaking? And can you determine a moment when you were up there that everything just fell away for you?
The laryngitis part, I mean, it's a little bit of a belief system, which everyone gets to apply their own for that one. I always, for me anyway, the belief system lands at all of the opportunities are always in front of you. And we are the ones who either don't see them or don't recognize them or don't act on them, that they're all around all the time. And we come blind to that. It's like our brain filters out all the stuff that it doesn't think is important. Well, your brain's been trained to just sort of go through your life and go through your normal life. So why would it think outside the box? When it came to the laryngitis for me, the belief system just simply says that I was given all of the opportunities all the time. In this particular case, I knew what was most important to me. My biggest thing that I had on my mind was being recognized. And so then in came the cold. And you know, even more than that too, is that I actually had my nose rebuilt and sinus surgery done. I hadn't had a cold in 2.5 years. So I mean, again, that stretches into belief system, but at the same part, it really was the opportunity that I was looking for. So my excuse of I might be recognized is now gone. It's gone. So when I got up and I was compelled to get up in that moment, it was because this was the block. I recognized that this is where I was stopped. I wanted to share the history about my self-worth and why I didn't think I was good enough. And it wasn't until that I got around all of the stories behind where I got to there versus actually saying the words, I don't think I'm good enough. I really don't. I have all kinds of evidence around me that I am, but I really don't. And it was the minute that I said it and the minute that that came into my reality was that, I have a learned behavior of I'm not good enough. Now, what am I going to do about it? And to add to your thing about fear, in my writing, I've always written that as soon as you can always recognize that fear exists, sometimes you don't have to deal with it right now, but if you can just put it off to the side and that little ugly demon that's sitting in the corner, you can kind of say, I see you peeking your head out there. I'm not going to deal with you today, but you're not going to win today. And once you recognize it, that it exists, then you can also be aware of where it starts to exist. And in my writing about fear, I actually write about a lot about timelines of words, and fear doesn't actually exist. It just occurs. And that's an important word distinction, is the difference between fear exists and fear occurs, because fear doesn't actually exist. It occurs to us in the moment based on a memory of the past, and it's wrapped around a story of what may or may not happen in the future. So it's actually not here right now. It's based on the past plus the future equals occurrence. So it doesn't actually exist in the moment of presence. So letting that go for me was where I figured out, and a little bit of my own writing plus my experience in that particular forum is where all those pieces came together. And I went, oh, okay, there was the lesson. Now I got it.
So today I was doing a meditation by Deepak Chopra and Oprah Winfrey, and it's about gratitude. And the mantra for today is a Sanskrit mantra, and it speaks to exactly what you were just talking about. And it says, every moment is my true self. So when we are in that present moment, there is nothing else. And like you say, fear occurs, but it doesn't really exist. And when we allow ourselves to be in that present moment and be ourselves, there is nothing to fear. So having said that, we're all human. And although we have gone through these transformations and we know this information now and we have experienced our alpha unleashed, I don't know about you, but I still come across blocks quite often. Does that still happen to you? Where you're finding you're blocking yourself, and how are you recognizing it now?
I call it stepping over or overlooking. What am I overlooking? It just becomes so ingrained in your brain. And I always look at spills and messes. Yesterday I was in my car and we went out to the barn because my daughter is a show jumper. And I was sitting in the car and doing a little bit of work before she went into the ring to ride. And I realized there was a spill on my door. I hit a bump, coffee splashed, or something simple like that. I don't even know when it got there, but it's shiny like a spill would be on the door. That's overlooking things. Now, it could have been there. I didn't drink on the way out to the barn. So it's been there for a little while. Maybe it's been there for months, but I've been overlooking that. So there are things, again, it's your brain filtering out the things it doesn't need and just allowing in what's most important to you. And so when you can expand that thought and be present in the situation, okay, what are all the things that my brain is at, like, it's like your soul is taking it all in, yet your brain has got blinders on and is only looking through that narrow lens. So when you can allow all of those pieces to come in and take the blinders off, you start to just really open up to all the things around you. And to your statement about the meditation practice, the one thing that I think is most important is that it's not compartmentalized in your life. That spill on my door and not recognizing that little bit of mess or carelessness or whatever you want to call it, that is present everywhere in my life, not just on my door. It's present at my house. It's going to be present in my work. There's going to be something a little bit sloppy that happened that I didn't realize happened. And so being present also gets into that writing of what is here. And when you can expand what is here, that takes you from only looking through those blinders into all the things that surround you and encompass you. And being present to, if it's in this piece of my life, now I found it on my door. Then I can look and go, okay, if this exists everywhere else in my life, because it's my life is my life. It's not just convenient here or there. And you know what I found when I came home? On the runner of my stairs coming up to my office, I have a little coffee spill. It's a white wooden runner along the side of the stairs. I have a little coffee drip that has fallen off a coffee cup and run down the stair. I've never noticed it before. So if it's present here, it's present there. It is all one life and it is all one behavior. So the opportunity becomes, if you notice it in one place, to stop, turn around, and look for that exact same thing in all other pieces of your life.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, I think what you're saying is what I refer to as the epiphanies I get almost every day. And they can be huge or they can be little, but it is something like the coffee drip that makes me aware of them. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think that's absolutely it. I mean, I think the information is always there. What are you overlooking? And there's no morality over overlooking, right? It's not, what did you get wrong? You're a bad girl, Nadine. Like, you're messy, you're gross, or you're OCD clean. There's no morality around it. It's just, what am I overlooking? And that's why stepping over, overlooking, those words matter, because there's no morality on those words.
Okay. And leaning into the vulnerability, right? Like leaning into the fear and the vulnerability of, again, being judged, but knowing that there is no right and wrong, and knowing that we are all one. You alluded to that. I can't remember the exact word that you just said, but we're all one soul. And, you know, sometimes I lose my words when I'm trying to explain that to people. I had an experience this week. I also do hypnosis and hypnotherapy, and I had an experience with my hypnotherapist where I knew something was blocking me in going forward with my business. And I went to her and I said, I need to work on this. I don't know what the block is. And in the hypnotherapy session, I discovered that when I was 4, I decided, because of circumstances in my home, in my family, that I didn't deserve happiness and pleasure. I decided that when I was 4, and that has been blocking me all these years. And when I was in that hypnotic state, and I remembered being 4 and what the situation was, my mom and dad were in the room, and there was some anger in the room, and there was some frustration. And my hypnotherapist said to me, if you could go back and change that, what would you do differently? And it was an immediate response. I didn't have to think about it. And it wasn't even words that came to me. It was feeling, and it was light, and it was love. And all of a sudden, in this vision in my mind, this like sunburst came from my mom's chest and my dad's chest and my chest. And it was like this infusion of souls and this love. And it was so powerful. And it just made everything better. Like, and it didn't matter that it happened when I was 4. It mattered that I went back to that, and I was able to experience that and realize that I was judging them, and to let go of that, I needed to let them be who they are and let me be who I am. And your words that you used a few minutes ago were, when you're speaking and when you're in your alpha, you need to be passionate, and passion goes with authenticity and love. And that is the fundamental place to be. What is that like for you in your life now? Like you talked about the blocks and overstepping those, but how are you feeling now as this new transformed person?
Offer to everybody that you know how you feel. You already do. Inside your heart, you already know what makes you happy. Whether you allow yourself to believe it or not would be a whole other question. Probably some time inside meditation, hypnotherapy, and the psychologist. Inside that study, because there are all kinds of different ways that everybody can go about finding those. It's what is now. If you can just search for the feeling, if you spend your time just looking for the feeling, because you'll recognize the feeling. You already know when you lie to yourself. You already know. I started on a book title about 4 years ago called You're a Liar. And I don't put morality on that. I'm just putting, because when you're a kid, you're a liar. That's not it. It's you're just not telling the truth. You're not expressing yourself. You're not being authentic. So in able to be here now, I just wrote a piece about a week ago that says, we lie so frequently in our lives, it feels good to tell the truth. And if you think about that for a second, think about the last time you confessed something to somebody and you told them the truth. Then imagine that feeling all the time. And if you can imagine that feeling all the time, that's what it's like to be expressive and authentic. And it's incredibly empowering to be able to go to somebody and say, hey, by the way, I didn't just listen to anything you said because I was thinking about my car. Will you please tell me again? Because you're giving that person a gift of saying, oh, they want to hear what I have to say. There's no morality to that. Now, yes, probably a reasonable habit that we should all break and probably start listening to the people around us. Understanding that when you're 4 years old and the language and around time, we use the wrong words because we say it was a long time ago, but yet here you are today. And that's looking at chronological time. There are two kinds of time. And when we use time as a word for all kinds of different things. And that's not what time means. It's either time, chronological time is when you were four a long time ago. But kairos is the time for in a moment. And kairos is another word that is time, and that is now. And when you understand the separation that there are two kinds and two definitions of the word time, what we throw around recklessly, you can understand that just because it happened when you're four does not mean it's not occurring to you today. And yet it's the same time, because that moment is this moment. And for me, that always breaks down to just the reckless use. We find it by the reckless use of our words. And once we can listen to the words that we're using, we find that authenticity. And I had someone just in a conversation in a coaching call that I was doing with a client had said, well, don't you want to go from sorting out your stuff and sort of that's where you find your peace? And I said, no, it's the other way around. Use your language to find your peace, then sort out your stuff. We expect to go from here to peaceful, as opposed to being peaceful and then creating whatever we want to create. Like, we expect that we're going to go to this place and find it. My assertion is just stand still, be still. And still has been such an incredibly big word for me. Find the stillness of yourself and you'll find your own authenticity. Because if you can't sit there and like being with yourself, you're not being authentic.
Oh my goodness. That is, wow. Okay. I wish you could see my face, because I'm, oh my goodness. That is such a good book.
I spent a lot of time running around looking for
that. Yeah. Me too.
You know, that's that piece that we just played that said, become the beacon of light. You know, and I would just add to your story that light and sound, those are just all vibrations. They're just occurring around us. My access point to all of that, because we function in this linear world of being humans, you know, these sacks of flesh that walk around, we communicate through language, and language is the ecosystem that not only helps us understand each other, but it also helps us understand ourselves and see the roadblocks that we're creating through convenience and laziness.
Okay, so you're a professional with words. And one of the other fears that I had about doing a podcast is that I'm sitting in my room and I'm on my laptop and I have this headset and this mic and I'm talking to people. And for me, that is foreign. I'm the type of person that likes to be near people and communicating with them and looking at them in the eye and feeling the vibrations from them. So I want to thank you again for the way that you use words, and especially in your Unlock My Words. And I want to know, when you were in the forum and you unleashed yourself, did you look at people in the audience? I don't remember. I remember crying because it was also beautiful. But was looking at somebody or looking anybody in the eye important to you, or did it just happen regardless of what kind of connection you had with people?
I don't think I did. I think it wasn't a natural connection in the beginning. For me, the expression was bottled up inside, and then I found a release valve for it. That's what I found mostly inside that program. So I found the release valve. Now I really sit with it. I will sit with somebody, and I always made eye contact, but I would look away. My habit of being in the radio studio was to not make eye contact, because quite often I'm not focusing. You know those pictures for color blindness, or the ones where you can blur out your eyes and you see a whole different picture? It's kind of like being that way in the conversation, that you sort of just blur out and you go inside your head, because I'm in a padded room by myself anyway. So it became a bit of a bad habit. Now in today's world, making eye contact and staying with that person, I actually kind of get a kick out of it, because it scares most people.
Yes, 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 it does.
I would like to assert one thing for you, Nadine, though. And I want you to take this with you when you say that sitting with a microphone and your headset on is foreign to you. It's not. It's no different than any other conversation. If it's present in one place in your life, it's present at another. And for anybody who wants to do podcasting, keep in mind, you talk to your friends all the time. You have authentic conversations with the loves of your life all the time. It's no different than that. The only piece is we put on this expectation that I've got to be a certain way in order for anyone to take me seriously. And we've spent our entire lives listening to radio people who sound, I'm a fantastic radio guy. And they do this stuff on the radio all the time. Now, we have just been trained to think that that's the way to communicate. And maybe it was back then. And maybe it is now. But that's just that person being that person. And it's not actually foreign to you. There's just a story that you're supposed to behave differently, even though you don't. It's the same as when you walk into the grocery store and they say, did you find everything that you're looking for?
Oh, yes. That is a good way to put it. Thank you for that. I feel so much better already.
Set you free.
It is so easy when you just allow yourself to let things flow.
It is flow. It's channeling. That alpha piece really is just channeling. It's almost like your soul starts to just talk.
Yes, that's what's happening. My soul is just talking. I'm not even looking at my notes that I prepared anymore.
And it just goes. Yes. And quite often I don't remember what I said. Uh-huh. Oh, hey, when you said this, I'm like, I don't really remember. Because it just sort of pours out of you.
Yeah, that's how I felt when I was in that alpha zone. It just came out. And my coach actually said that. She said, what did you say? What was it that, where did that come from? Where did those words come from? I said, I don't even know what I said.
Well, and I would even go as far as to say that nobody else remembers what you said. But I remember the feeling in the room, and I remember the conversation going, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just a moment. It was this moment of change. It was this moment of, I almost don't even recognize that person. Mm-hmm. And I loved it.
Me too.
And that's what it becomes, is that's what the relationship is. So we can say the sky is blue all we want, but if it's believable, we'll just be like, this person comes to me, or I want to meet you, I want to introduce you to this person, and this person's amazing. Well, what do they do? Just do me a favor and talk to them. You'll get it.
Yeah. It's not about what you do. It's not about where you came from. It's not about the letter behind your name. It's about you. And I remember that moment. It was very light infused. So not only was I in different brain waves, in this alpha wave, but my whole being was like infusing into everybody else's. And it was just like floating. And I don't know how to draw people into that, except just to be, like you're saying. You can't give steps on how to do that. You just have to be yourself, and like you say, be your authentic self and come from a place of love. Would you have anything to add to that? We do have to pay attention to time in this podcast. So as we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here, is there anything else that you would like to say to the audience about finding their alpha?
Just try it on. You got to try it on, and you've got to say it. You've got to actually do it. You go cut your hair, people don't even really notice. And yet we put all of this thought and research behind, oh my goodness, am I going to look good? The one thing that I would say about finding your authentic self is the next time you write an important email to your boss, or you write a love letter to your lover, or you write a birthday card or gift card to somebody, and you tell them how much you love them. What you do is you write that, you rewrite it, you write it one more time, you reread it, and before you send it, you probably read it again. Yet we go through every single aspect of our day smearing our reckless, careless language among anybody who's willing to listen, and even some people who aren't. And yet we don't ever stop and reevaluate and audit what we're saying all day, every day. So from the perspective of Unlock My Words, I would assert that if we could treat every moment of our lives like we treat important conversations, emails, letters, if we could share every moment of good afternoon, let me get the door for you, can I help you with that, is no different than the expression of love that we write in a card. Take a step back and look at the way you communicate and the things you say to people. Audit your language, audit the way you speak to people, and that's where you're going to start to find who you are.
So audit is a scary word to people, because when I hear audit, I hear taxes.
Yeah, it is. Well, because nobody wants to be held accountable.
Nobody wants to be held accountable. And, you know, it's in accountability and responsibility that we find ourselves. It's like leaning into the vulnerability, right?
Mm-hmm. And what we find when someone audits us is we find our fake self. So when we go back and we listen to a conversation, and I just literally push record, sit down with a friend and say, hey, I want to talk to you about something, but I want to record it. And listen to how you speak differently as soon as you know it's recording. Or say to a friend, hey, we're going to hang out today. I want you to record part of this, but don't tell me when. And then listen back to the way you speak to people. And the next time you're mad at your partner, record it. I'm going to get mad at you and I want to hear how terrible I sound. Record it. Because nobody wants to hear the audit, because the audit proves that it's your fake self. I mean, you're only worried about getting audited if you've got something that you've hidden.
Okay. I'm feeling so great right now. I hope our listeners are as well. And Shane, I want to thank you again for coming on. Can you just tell us, if somebody wanted to contact you, how would they do that?
Yep. Unlockmywords.com, ZachHewitt.com, ShaneRHewitt.com. You can reach out anyway. Just if you Google Zach Radio Calgary is a great one. You can find access to all of those different pieces. And just reach out and start the conversation. I mean, for me personally, whether it's stepping into business and doing speaking on a small scale or getting into keynote speaking in front of a crowd or just doing a one-on-one coaching, I'm always available to help out, because for me, spreading the word of understanding yourself is found in these things that we do more than anything else in the day. And I'd love to help the world find that.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being on this podcast with me. I'm going to listen to this over and over again so I can relish in it again. So I just want to say, Shane, you are such an inspiration, and I love that you call me Deaner.
Yeah, everybody, Nadine's nickname is
Yes,
Deaner.
My nickname is Deaner. I have many nicknames, but Shane's for me is Deaner. And I'm so glad to have met you and to be able to share space with you now. And through this podcast, I hope everyone can find their alpha. It is time to unleash your alpha. It is time to unleash your soul.
Now that Nadine has shared some tools to help you tap into your alpha zone and increase your self-esteem, it's time for you to take charge and live a powerful, confident life. If what Nadine has spoken about today resonated with you and you would like to explore more, Nadine invites you to schedule an appointment with her via her website at www.hatsoff.ca, spelled HATZOFF.ca. Thank you for listening. For more episodes, please visit the Tenacious Living Network at TLRStation.com.